course, it's time now for the Sunny Side of Sports with Sunny Young. Happy Tuesday, Sunny.
Happy Tuesday to you, Kim.
Well, Sunny, I understand you have lots and lots of African football news for us today.
Kim, joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is David Legg, our African football guru. Good evening, David.
Thank you, Sunny.
David, the African coaching carousel continues to turn. About a half dozen changes the past couple weeks. Let's begin in Nigeria, David. Stephen Keshi gets the boot as the head coach of the Super Eagles. Your reaction?
I did sort of envisage this was going to happen, and it comes really as no surprise. This was an accident waiting to happen. Stephen Keshi applied for the Ivory Coast job very soon after he had been appointed coach of Nigeria, and that to me was just footballing suicide. And no surprises, Nigerian football authorities have basically said that they felt that his focus was not completely on the Super Eagles, the national senior team. I suppose just adding salt into those wounds of Keshi at the moment is the fact that he didn't even make the shortlist for the Ivorian position. And now he's out of a job, but probably not for too long, Sonny. He's been relatively successful, of course, the highlight being winning the 2013 Africa Cup of Nations with Nigeria. Big surprise that. Ivory Coast were the firm favorites. Nigeria knocked them out in the quarterfinals. The Nigerians then took Mali apart in the semifinals and then won a tight final against Burkina Faso 1-0. But that was certainly one of the positive ticks against the name of Stephen Keshi. But why, oh why, oh why he would apply for the Ivory Coast job so soon after being appointed coach of Nigeria, I don't know, Sonny. I don't have an answer to that one. Stephen Keshi is known as the big boss. You either love him or you loathe him. You admire him or you dislike his style. But the way it's going, Sonny, as you said, this carousel, I was just looking before we went on air. In the last couple of weeks alone, Mozambique have fired their coach. Malawi have fired their coach. The Namibian coach has resigned. Tanzania have fired their coach. And that, we did predict on the Sunny Side of Sports, 6 defeats in a row. So that, again, was almost inevitable. Tunisia, Sunny, another one. George Leekens, the Belgian, who did very well, I felt, with the Carthage Eagles in the recent Cup of Nations. He got them to the quarterfinals where they went out after that rather controversial penalty that gave Equatorial Guinea an equalizer, and then the Equato Guineans went on to win 2-1 after extra time. Now, Leekens claims that he was due a bonus from the Cup of Nations. It wasn't paid. He clearly is a man of principle. He said, give me the money or else. The Tunisians said no, and Mr. Leekens was on a plane out of the country quicker than you could say, I've resigned. And now we got Stephen Keshi, and by my mathematics, Sonny, I was not too bad at school. That is 6 national coaches gone in just a couple of weeks. So, I think if Stephen Keshi is patient, he should get a chance again soon. Who knows where, though? And perhaps the next time, when he applies for another job, while he's still in one, he must tell his prospective employees to keep it quiet, Sonny, and not put it on the internet where everybody can see it.
David, action continuing in the African Nations Championship for players based in Africa. How about an update on the recent results?
Right, Sonny, we're through now at the preliminary round of the African Nations Championship, also known as CHAN, and as you said, it's for players who are locally based. And there is one thing, Sonny, that seems to still be causing confusion, judging from emails I'm getting from Voice of America listeners. They seem to think that if you're playing anywhere in Africa, you're eligible. That is incorrect. Let's take a Nigerian as an example. If you're a Nigerian, you must be playing in Nigeria. You must be playing in the Nigerian League to be eligible. If you're a Nigerian and you're playing in South Africa or in Tunisia, you are ineligible. So let's just stress that point again. It's for home-based players only. A Nigerian must be playing in Nigeria, a Tunisian in Tunisia, a South African in South Africa. Let's look at it zone by zone, Sonny, starting with the West A zone. That's the countries in the north of West Africa. In Bamako, it was Mali 3, Guinea-Bissau 1. Mali win 4-2 in aggregate. No surprise here. But a little bit of a scare for the Malians in that they fell behind in the second leg, but they equalized before halftime, and 2 goals in the last 15 minutes gave them a 3-1 victory. In Bakau in Gambia, it was Gambia 0, Senegal 1 in Doi after just 7 minutes. Again, no real surprises here, but a good away win nevertheless for the Senegalese. They led 3-1 from the first leg, so they qualified 4-1 on aggregate. In Monrovia, it was Liberia 1, Guinea 1. Guinea qualified 4-2 on aggregate. Sad homecoming this Sunday for the Liberians. They've been unable to stage international football for 13 months because of the Ebola epidemic. But great news for Liberians. The country was recently declared Ebola-free, and that's a great relief for both Liberians and fellow West Africans. This Ebola epidemic has now claimed 11,200 lives, according to the World Health Organization. A truly sad tale indeed. And it was great for Liberia to be back at home in Monrovia, but unfortunately, despite a packed 10,000 crowd and a first half goal from C from the penalty spot, they couldn't pull it off. My belief was that the Liberians' only hope of survival was to win 2-0 and scrape through on the away goal rule. But that second goal never came, and Kamara equalized for Guinea in the second half. Guineans now face Senegal, and Mali will face Mauritania. Just a reminder of a match played a week ago, the second leg in which Mauritania were at home against Sierra Leone, also because of the Ebola epidemic. The Mauritanians won 2-0, so it was 4-1 in aggregate.
David, in a result from the Southern Zone in 2016 African Nations Championship qualifying, Zimbabwe and the host Comoros Islands played to a scoreless draw. Zimbabwe advances on a 2-0 aggregate. The Warriors of Zimbabwe overcame some travel problems, as we hear now from reporter Michael Cariati in Harare.
Warriors supporters say they were surprised but happy that the squad managed to go past the Comoros, though they were stuck in Harare before traveling to Moron. Most of them say the Zimbabwe Football Association should put its act together to ensure that the Warriors do not face the same problem ahead of an encounter with Lesotho in the next round. Captain Benepiri said they hope to steamroll over Lesotho, especially in the home game, which will be crucial in deciding the outcome of the two-legged match.
We're expecting to do the same thing against Lesotho. Come here to home, get a win, go there and finish the job in Lesotho.
Former Caps United defender Charles Mangera said it was good that the Warriors won, and this would stimulate interest from the fans who have been used to defeat.
I'm very happy because when the nation does well, it benefits everybody from the bottom, from the junior level to everything.
Turning to the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League, the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League program rolled into week 15 with Caps United, the biggest winners of the week after a 2-0 win over leaders Chicken Inn. Goals from Leonard Fiado saw the Green Machine collect maximum points and move to fifth position on the league table with 24 points. Caps United supporter Zwana Imroiwa says it was heartening that the Green Machine are back to winning ways.
I'm very happy that we collected maximum points.
The defeat, however, did not have much impact on Chicken Inn's position at the top of the table. They are a point above Triangle, who played a 1-0 draw against Highlanders at Barberfield Stadium. Now we turn to rugby. There were celebrations too in rugby after the Sables beat Tunisia 19-8 at Prince Edward School in an Africa Cup encounter. Reporting in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Joining us now with a Tuesday Wimbledon tennis update is VOA's Jonah Haskell. Hi, Jonah.
Hey, Sonny. The quarterfinals of Wimbledon are underway in London as the field has been narrowed to just 8 players on both the men's and women's sides. Still in the running on the women's side is world number one Serena Williams, who had to beat her older sister Venus in the round of 16 to advance. Although playing Venus at Wimbledon for the sixth time, it was just the first time that the sisters had met at a major in 6 years. After the match, Serena spoke about what she needed to do to get the win.
I think I played solid. I knew that playing someone like Venus that's beaten me the most, I have to be solid. I had to cut down on my unforced errors. I had to take a lot of chances, so I was able to do that.
Overall, this was the Williams sisters' 26th time facing each other in a professional match. With her victory, Serena has now won 15 of those matchups to Venus's 11. Williams will be playing Victoria Azarenka of Belarus in the quarterfinals. Meanwhile, two quarterfinal matches are already over. Spanish player Garbine Muguruza needed only two sets to send Timea Baksinski home, while unseeded American Coco Vandeweghe pushed world number 4 Maria Sharapova to the limit before the Russian closed out the match for a 6-3, 6-7, 6-2 win. Muguruza and Sharapova now move on to the semifinals, where Sharapova will face the winner of Azarenka-Williams, while Muguruza will play the victor of the quarterfinal between Agnieszka Radwanska and Madison Keys. The men's quarterfinals, which will be played on Wednesday, should be an exciting affair, as all of the top 4 seeds in the tournament are still in it. If the entire foursome of Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer, Andy Murray, and Stan Wawrinka can triumph in their respective quarterfinal matches, then it will be the first time that all 4 top seeds reach the semifinal of a major tournament since the 2012 Australian Open. Djokovic, the number 1 seed this year, almost didn't make it past his round of 16 match on Monday. Taking on Kevin Anderson of South Africa, Djokovic lost the first 2 sets and looked like he might be headed home when he stormed back to win the next 2. The match eventually had to be cut short due to darkness, but resumed Tuesday morning for the decisive 5th set. Anderson, the only African at Wimbledon, matched the Joker game for game before he finally faltered. With a final score of 6-7, 6-7, 6-1, 6-4, 7-5, Djokovic advances to face Marin Cilic in the